All right, guys, welcome to episode 11 of the Produce Common Sense podcast. Every time I have one of these conversations, one of these interviews with someone new, I learn something new. I hope that you're going to learn something along with me. If you do, you know how to follow along and to keep learning with me. Today, I have Megan Crivelli with The Produce Nerd. And I would argue that she's doing something similar to what I'm doing, and she's been doing it for longer than I have, for sure. And I look at what we do in agriculture and the many mistakes that we make as farmers and as producers that tend to create a disconnect between how we do what we do and why we do what we do. And I want to have this conversation with Megan. Megan, welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
I want to have this conversation about what it is that we're doing wrong and how we can be better. And if we're better, what the potential consequences are. So Megan, what do you, to throw, put you on the spot right at the very beginning, what is it that we do the worst? And I'm saying the industry. Okay. Let me clarify that. Cause I don't know your background. So let's start there. Give me your background. Give me your, like, how did you end up in agriculture or talking about agriculture and farming and produce? And, you know, what was the driving factor for you to get behind a camera and start telling the story?
Okay, so I do not come from a farming background at all. My dad owns a cabinet shop. I went to UC Davis and just kind of followed these paths that I got sent on and took an intro to post-harvest class that just like completely changed my life, like in every sense of the way, like found my true calling, passion, and also like I learned how to eat properly. You know, it was a double-edged sword right there. So then when I finished, I went on and got my master's in post-harvest. And when I finished at UC Davis, that was like the big happenings for food safety was starting at that moment. So naturally, I went into food safety, did the auditing, did all that stuff, and got to the point where like the food safety is not fun. Like it's not fun. It's not, you're not learning anymore.
It's more food safety. It's necessary, but isn't it? It's so painful, but some people love it. I mean, for some people it's really the right thing for them.
Yeah. But from the auditing perspective, it's behavioral management, right? It comes to a point where you're not, you know, you can't even, you know, I'd see like the coolest thing. And then I'd have to like teeter as to whether I could even ask something about it because people are so nervous about what you're going to say, what they're going to say, what you're going to ask, if that's going to get them a markdown on their audit.
Oh, you were an auditor.
Oh, yeah.
Auditor.
Oh, yeah.
No wonder you hated your job. No kidding. Because if you're on the management side on the farm or the packing facility, I mean, it's more just, yeah, keeping your ducks in a row, like making sure you're documenting and doing things. But yeah, the auditor side, like your job is to come in and prove that you're not doing it right to a certain extent. I mean, I've had auditors sit across the table from me and say, I can fail you every time if I want to. And that's a scary thing. And it's a very powerful thing. Like not saying they would fail us or that, you know, but if you should, of course you should. But the fact that you could kind of speaks to the power that you have as an auditor.
Right. So it got to the point I moved on with that and went to the data management side. And then after that, I decided, you know what, this isn't why I'm excited about produce. This wasn't why I started out doing what I'm doing. And I either need to go back to what I like, or I'm going to end up in a different career. So I decided, well, how can I take all of this really super cool stuff that I've seen, that I've learned going to these different operations all the time? And how can
cool things? Cause you're talking about post-harvest. Oh. I'm not trying to lose, but I want people to understand, like, so first of all, I didn't even know you could study post-harvest. So that's cool. But what does that mean? What does that mean?
It's the study of post-harvest is the study of harvest and after. So basically the life of the fruit and vegetable. So as it goes from harvest, how it's harvested, all the stuff that happens to it. And then it goes to the cooling or the processing and then the transport and all the stuff. So basically from harvest, point of harvest to the grocery store.
Okay. So the coolest side of produce farming, probably, to be honest.
For me. Yeah. The growing side isn't as exciting for me, but I mean, I understand it's the full package, right? So, so if you could see by all of the stuff that I've done, right, I've really focused on harvest and after because I mean, the growing, you could totally do the growing side, which is what you've been doing, but it's, you know, that story is not a story. I can't show up one day and tell the story of the growing unless you know, I bring the farmer, the farmer tells the story, but I'm not getting the footage. It would be multiple trips. And again, that's not where my interest or really my knowledge lies. It's harvest and after. So that's what I went. I just went back to that, started telling those stories. And I figure if I'm interested in learning about that, I wish I had that as a student to learn from. And I wish I had that as a consumer to know where my food's coming from. Like, all these people care about their food and if it's, you know, this, that, whatever label, but why isn't anybody asking, hey, like, where is my food actually coming from?
You know? So when you say to see that, you mean like video content to understand like the behind the scenes of the actual process of harvest, like what it takes every step of the way from the time you harvest that crop all the way until it's, you know, in a package and headed out on a semi, basically.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the first harvest I actually saw in person was a celery harvest. And have you seen a celery harvest?
I have. Incredible.
Life altering. I mean, it's like, and it's just like incredible. And I'm just sitting there thinking like, why have I never seen this before? This is incredible. The work, I mean, it's just, I just can't even get over. I actually don't have celery featured on any of my stuff, but celery was a change.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, and you know, what's funny is I grew up in agriculture. So I saw asparagus harvest. I saw beets, onions, I mean, name it, a lot of harvests. But my first trip to the Salinas Valley, which happened probably about a decade ago, about 10 years ago, was mind blowing. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but you know, I mean, I'm a farm kid at heart and come from that background. And so I thought, I mean, I'm like, this is cool, but it's cool because of who I am. Right. Mm-hmm. But you're saying from the outside, it's cool kind of for everyone.
You know, I have like, I mean, of course I've played these different videos. Like I think of like different family members, like, oh, you got to see what happened. Like even my nephew, I mean, 10-year-old nephew, my dad, you know, my grandma, I'm showing them all these videos because, you know, you just sit there and watch them and their eyes are like, whoa, like that really happens too. You know, I mean, my dad's not going to go search that on YouTube, right. But when he sees it, he's going, whoa, like, you know? So yeah, I mean, more people need to know about it.
So what do you think then, as best you can describe as someone who was an outsider in the past, and what I mean an outsider, someone who doesn't come from a farming family or a farming background, what do you see as the biggest failure in communication in our industry?
To the consumer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, here's my compliment for you. I think you have done a really great job. You have a little bit of an advantage because it's your family, your company. And a lot of people aren't comfortable getting in front of the camera, but it's like, dude, you guys are, you're the farm. Like right. Your family is the farm. And that's the case for a lot of other family farms, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody's like too afraid. So then they bring in these marketing people who are just like, they're really good at marketing, right? But right. They don't know the ins and outs of the actual farming or whatever type of operation it is. So it's kind of like, okay, here's, you know, and with fresh produce, I understand onions are a little bit different, but like if we're talking about like a peach or an apple or, you know, these things, marketing has gotten so far in some like weird tangent direction that instead of encouraging people to eat the apple, like eat the peach, like this really good fruit, we are talking about making like peach pancakes and, you know, like all these fluffy things. And it's like, okay, that's cool. If people are going to do that, you know, on their own. But like,
that's a really good,
I love your observation, man. Yeah. When is it not cool to eat an apple and a peach? And they're so good. You know what I mean? Right. They're so good. So it's kind of like all this marketing has taken this turn to make these big extravagant things. But it's like, if we're marketing to the average American, I mean, I don't have time to make an apple pancake every time I want to eat an apple. You know right. What I mean? And if I have to do that to get my kids to eat an apple, I mean, that would just be terrible. You know? So if we just go back to the basics, right? Like the basics, like what you're growing, like, why is it so good? And then tell the story of it. And I have no idea. I've talked about your example multiple times. I have no idea why you don't have so many copycats. Like, where are the copycats at? Why are people not coming out and doing that? I just don't
There's more and more all the time. There's more and more all the time, but it is It's, I have a, you know what I've, I, and thank you for the compliment, by the way. I have a weird background. I really do. Like, to have grown up on the farm as a farm kid, like doing what I do with the basic knowledge. Now, between you and me and everyone listening, I'm not a farmer. I mean, if I go talk to a farmer, like if I go talk to my cousin or my uncle, they will both accuse me of not being a farmer immediately. And they're, you know, to the extent of the depth of knowledge that they have, that's true. But I'm to anyone else, I am as much a farmer as they've ever known. Like I can carry a conversation with a farmer all day long, and I am a farm kid, and I did grow up on a farm, and I was driving tractors in my 20s. But I mean, there was a point in time where I kind of separated from that, right? And I spend more time in sales and marketing and in the operations side than I do the farming. But there's not a lot of people in my position, especially, and you said it, with marketing companies that have that real background, right? And so they come in and they can tell a beautiful story, but they can't talk about the subtleties, and it turns into a commercial. Instead of like informational, it turns into a commercial, like here's harvest. And it's a beautiful, beautiful videos of harvest, all these drone shots, all this stuff going on, but there's no human in front of the camera. So you're not talking about a farmer, which is part of what people are interested. Is that, you think that's true? I mean, are people interested in the person growing their food as much as they are in their food, or at least close?
I don't know. I mean, me personally, mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool that the like about page, the family farm on the website and stuff. But I mean, if we're just telling the family farm history story, like it kind of just like fades out after a while. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if they want to be the farmer and they want to go out and show stuff, like I love, you know, I'm just going to call HMC Farms here. HMC Farms. They do this Farm Friday, right? They don't have one specific person from the family. They have like the one daughter's husband does the grapes. So he tells the story of the grapes. And then there's, you know, the different weeks they have like the different people in the operation that run the certain areas. I think that's great too. You know, like it just needs to be told. Cause as you're saying, if you're just showing an overview of drone shots, it's beautiful. But it's not really telling a story. Like you're not telling the story. You're not showing the actual workers doing the work, which is the most incredible part of the whole story. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like you did some stuff. I don't know how, maybe a couple months back, you're talking about immigration reform and all this stuff. And it's like, hey guys, like we all know what the workforce looks like. Why aren't you showing it? You right. know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just don't understand.
And I understand it to a certain extent because, I mean, not that I don't show it right. I do, but there's this judgment that falls on you. It's really weird. So on the one hand, we have the best worker conditions with the highest pay rates, health insurance, paid time off, all of those things, like the best worker conditions for this type of work in the world. But at the same time, there's so many people who look at us and they don't believe that that's true. And I mean the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at the farmer, they either don't believe that's true, or because it's physically hard labor, they feel bad as a consumer thinking about it. And they think poorly of the farmer who employs those people because of this guilt complex that they associate with it as well. And what people misunderstand so often is how life-altering it is for these workers to come here and have these jobs. And I mean those that have been here for maybe 3/4 of a generation, or those that just came on an H-2A program 3 months ago. For all of them, it is hard work, but they know that it's hard work. But the potential life-altering improvement is vast. That's why they take the risk. It's just like our, you know, like people this country has always been a nation of immigrants, and the people who left their homeland left at least some sense of security and consistency to come somewhere for an opportunity. And we look at the farm workers and we're like, well, they didn't do that. They just came here because they have to work in the fields. And that's not true. It's hard work. We just don't have a lot of hard work. Like I should rephrase that. There's a lot of hard work, but physically hard labor, like there is in the fields, is much, much less prevalent. I mean, as different today as it could possibly be from 70 years ago. Like 70 years ago, everyone was doing everything by hand, right? Or 100 mm-hmm. years ago, everyone was doing everything by hand. So a field worker wasn't that different from a warehouse worker or from someone working in construction, but today it is. And so I feel like there's this, that associated misunderstanding and guilt. I don't know if that sounds too dramatic, but I feel like that's part of the connection.
Well, I will say that I haven't had like a big issue going and doing video of some farms and facilities, but at certain places they like say, don't show the face. Just show the hands. And it's like, I get it to an extent, but you know, at some point you have to do the backup view and do the far away view, because I mean, there's no food without the workers, you know? And I mean, it's just really frustrating because people don't understand that part. And that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions, right? Like without right. them, there's no food.
The end. And the fact that we're not perfect as an industry, but we largely do it right. And then we don't tell the story actually costs us, because as our costs increase, right, we become weaker and weaker competitors compared to places like Mexico and South America, where they pay, you know, I mean, $1.50, $2.50 an hour. Basically, it's $25 to $30 a day is what the pay rate is. So guys working here in 2 hours are making more than they're working an entire, you know, 10-hour workday at these other locations or in these other countries. I'm trying to remember what I was trying to say there. Sorry.
That's okay. Talking about workers in other countries, competitors.
So if we don't show them and show what they're doing and talk about their experience, even though it's hard, the consumer's never going to pay more for that celery or that onion or that apple or whatever. Because we've been afraid to talk about them and afraid to talk about what we're doing, you know, like they're in the background, like they don't exist. Then when we say, no, we take great, these people are necessary, they're important, and we take good care of them. And that's why we need you to pay us 79 cents a pound for an onion, not 49 cents a pound. Can you buy a 49 cent pound an onion from Mexico or Peru? Yeah, you can. But what is it that we're providing? You as a consumer want to know that you're buying something that's good for the environment and good for you and good for the worker. And that's how you know, but we'd never tell that story. Or we don't tell often enough.
Another thing to answer your question about what are we missing, when I did like a poll, maybe like 2 years ago, I did a poll of my readers or the people on my website of like, what do you think is missing that you want to learn more about produce? And the most basic thing, they said, like, I want to learn how to select, store, and prepare produce. And some companies do really good at this, but other times, I mean, it's just like, here's your website. Like, you have your family story. And then what else are you including? As a consumer, okay, it's cool that you're selling, you know, celery, lettuce, and apples, but like, you have to have more than list out celery, apples, and whatever the other thing I said was on your website and teach the consumer. Like, you have to have, like, the other day I saw these cool looking berries and they had a container, they had a QR code. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, they're going to tell me something really cool I can do with these berries. And I do the QR code and it's a consumer survey. I'm like, no, like, you just lost me. I didn't buy the berries. Like, I was so mad. I was so mad about this QR code. I'm like, I'm not buying the berries. So it's like, you know, there's all these opportunities you have with so many levels. Like, okay, people aren't going to check the website. Well, you have the opportunity to put the QR code, do something like super cool. Like super cool to entice the consumer that like maybe would have been around. Like my daughter was the one who pointed the berry out to me. So I'm like, oh, so cool, right? Yeah. And then I'm like, well, we're gonna have to come back. We're gonna have to come back another time. I can't support this. No, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I think there's just like a lot of different opportunities at different levels where you can catch the consumer to your specific brand. And there's a lot of missed opportunity.
So what is, if you had to, if, okay, so now you're talking to, I want you to talk to two different people if you would.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one, tell the consumer what you've learned and what we are doing right. The good of what we're doing as farmers. and the good things that we do as an industry. And then I'm going to flip it and say, talk to the farmers and tell us what we're doing wrong.
Well, I mean, I really don't have, if I'm talking to the consumer, I don't really have anything bad to say. Like, I think produce, the whole produce industry is incredible. Like, I will sit and talk to whoever wants to listen to me about how much work goes into bringing produce to the grocery store and how incredible it is. So for me, as like a super like lover of produce, you know, I don't like it all, but I appreciate where it comes from. So I will sit there and, you know, the only thing that kind of makes me angry is when it's a missed opportunity, like the Berry QR code, you know what I mean? It's like, there's all these opportunities to hit the consumer. Like, so if it's missed, then it's a little frustrating to me because I feel like that's just like the last part, you know, like you did the work, you grew it, you got it there. And then, oh man, you know, but I don't have anything bad to say. I think, you know, I think the best thing that we can do is appreciate where the food comes from, appreciate the food, and continue to encourage people to eat more produce just in general. You know, it doesn't, you know, you don't need to be vegetarian. You don't need to have like 15 vegetables on your plate every meal. I mean, let's be realistic here, right? Like your body can't handle that. Okay. So just realistically encourage more consumption. Like, pineapple is always going to taste good, right? Mm-hmm. Onion, you know, a lot of people don't like fresh onions. That's okay. But you know what? You can also get them at the cooked onion side, right?
Right.
So there's just a lot of opportunity that can be capitalized on, I believe.
Okay. I agree with that. I mean, there's just so many things, so many ways. I guess I like going back to what you just said about like, okay, just we get too fancy sometimes about what we're trying to get people to do. Like, I had Paul Manfrey on here, which I don't know if you follow him from LinkedIn or not, but Paul Manfrey is, they call him the Pepper King, but he's been in the produce industry for 40 plus years. And he's like, we have the healthiest product to sell. Produce is extremely healthy. There's nothing bad about it, right? Mm-hmm. And yet we have a hard time promoting it. And I don't know where the struggles are as an industry, as a farmer, as whatever, to do those promotions and really tell the story. But it is changing. You know, we're not that far behind the times. I mean, I can see people being willing to get in front of the camera and just talk about what's happening and be more open. I think that's another thing too. Like people, it's hard to be this open about what you're doing and the challenges that you're having and your wins and your losses. And, you know, being, I don't even know what's made me willing to do what I've done to this point. It's just who I am. So
now you're used to it and you're comfortable. You're like, yeah, whatever. And then, you know what I mean? You're totally comfortable with it now, right?
Yeah, for the most part, I am, I don't know, totally, but mostly comfortable, mostly comfortable with what I'm doing most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and the last thing I was going to touch on, so there is in the tomato industry, actually, going back to your point about the workers, I'm trying to think of who did that. And you may know the brand off the top of your head. That did the faces. Have you ever seen the one where you peel back the lid?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of who did that. But that was a cool thing to do, to highlight those workers in that way. And they weren't afraid to do it. I think the industry is getting agriculture. We're getting less afraid to tell our story and to make sure that people understand what it takes and who it takes to get food on the table. I'm fearful that if folks like yourself don't continue to help us tell our story, that we are not going to be doing this that much longer. And I don't know if you hear that. Do you hear that at all among anyone else? Is anybody else? So I feel like sometimes some of the things I talk about, everyone's like, Shay's exaggerating. And Shay just says this because it's like, not like clickbait, but you know, like he's exaggerating. Yeah. I really don't know if we can do this for 10 more years if things don't dramatically change. Do you hear that there at all? Or am I just a worrywart?
I heard you talking about it the other day on the produce industry network, but I haven't heard like that specific, but you know, you did talk about the asparagus industry in California. And I mean, wow, prime example right there of what happened, right? Like there's basically very, 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 very little asparagus left to grow there when there's prime asparagus growing ground. but it's no longer economical for the grower to do. And, you know, there used to be an asparagus festival. I don't know if you know that. There used to be an asparagus festival, this whole thing in California. It's like, it's just like, bye. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't exist anymore. And it's so crazy. And it's like, if you look now at the Salinas Valley, that's everyone, the guys were talking, California's not going to be anymore. And it's like, you know, to me, I don't know if you know this, but we just moved to Georgia a couple months ago. So mainly everything that I've featured is California, right? I love California. Right. I have, you know, we didn't move here for any weird reasons. We just moved here for my husband's job. So, but if you look at California as a whole, I mean, it's just so incredible. And it's like really, you know, in the Valley and the Salinas Valley, the Central Valley, the Imperial Valley, everywhere, it's all focused on agriculture. Yeah. So to think, you know, to hear these people say like, oh, you know, agriculture is not going to exist in California anymore. For me, it's like, well, geez, like besides the beach, what are we going to do in California now? You know what I mean? It's just to me that it's hard for me to grasp onto because it's the life. Like California is agriculture. It's 98. Well, maybe it's not 98% anymore, but you know, it is the country's food supply. So for me to hear that, it just kind of makes me sad. And, but I don't think it would be 10 years. I think that if California's going down, it's going to take longer than 10 years.
Okay. Like, I'll give you that possibly. I mean, it's going to be a slow process. It's going to be like the asparagus though.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be like the asparagus. It's going to be something that where you're just surprised. The asparagus is the canary in the coal mine. And I think so many people are trying to do the right thing and have tried to do the right thing for the most part. I know that farmers generally do everything that they can to do it the right way. You know, for some reason, there's this misconception sometimes that we're, you know, trying to cut corners all the time or we're, you know, doing things on the cheap or whatever. And I mean, we're doing things on the cheap to the extent that we can, but that doesn't mean we're not doing things the right way. And I feel like it's like the turning point. Like, I feel like we're just getting close to that turning point. And I hope just enough people we'll see what you show them and your type of content and hear and see what I'm sharing and understand the passion and the love that we have for what we do for the industry and step up and change their mentality a little bit. We're seeing that change in corporate America, I think, as far as this, you know, environmental responsibility and social responsibility instead of just profit. And so I still have this faith that the same thing's going to happen when people consider their food. The difference with food though, is it's something you pay for every single day. It's a significant portion of your paycheck that you're paying towards food. And you know, if it's an iPhone and you buy one every 2 years and it costs you $150 more because there's some practice that needed to be changed and you voted for it or corporate America agreed that it needed to happen, that's one time every 2 years. But when it's something you buy at the grocery store every 2 or 3 days and now it costs 20% more, because you want these farmers to be, you know, do the right things and have the right mentality for the responsibility to the environment and to people. I think it's a harder sell. And that's why I think you telling the story and others like you is so important.
Well, I have to tell you a story. So I grew up, we ate out every meal, maybe not breakfast, but lunch, dinner every day, like my entire childhood. My dad maybe cooked like twice a year. Okay. Like I'm not even exaggerating.
Okay.
My dad still does that to this day. He goes out and he's like, yeah. Oh yeah. Then we got a Taco Bell in town. You know what I mean? It's just like terrible, terrible, terrible. And my dad is not in great health due to this. Right. But if you look at the amount of money that my dad spends on eating out, even Taco Bell. Okay.
Right. Right.
Compared to, and for me, I'm super cheap, but the only thing I spend money on is, yeah, of course I'm going to go to the grocery store. Of course, my money is going to be spent on food for my family, you know, and myself. And because this is, you know, our investment for the future. But so when I look at the money that is spent, like when I go home and visit my dad, the amount of money he spends eating out is insane. Okay.
Right,
like
right.
Not even, and now, you know, everybody expects like a tip when you're not even eating, dining in. So it's like the price that people are willing to pay to that. And then they complain about the fresh produce at the grocery store. It's like,
no, yes. That's very true. That's true. I mean, those that have that, I mean, you could eat pure avocados and Sumo citrus for the cost of eating out. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's absolutely the case. So Megan, where can people find you? Can you give everyone your social handles and let them know where they can find you and what you'll be teaching them if they do?
I'm at theproducenerd.com. On YouTube, I'm the Produce Nerd, and on Instagram, I'm the Produce Nerd. And so basically I just do behind the scenes of different produce operations. So I don't know if you watched any of mine, but I do not do my face in front of the camera because I've gotten some slack for it, but it's not my story to tell. Like I am a visitor to the farm. I'm a visitor to the facility. And I've always felt that way, that it's very strongly that I'm telling somebody else's story to teach people. So I tell the story. And then another thing I've started doing since I had kids, my daughter's just turned 3, is I've started doing like easier ways, showing easy ways, just like super easy, because that's what my life is. It's super simple fruit, vegetables. How do we make it? How do we make it easy? Like, how do we get our kids to eat produce? I've almost mastered it. So I'm sharing it. And I'm really proud of that because that was not my childhood. So now that's what I do. And some really cool ones that I did this last, my most recent ones, I did some dates in California, which is like unreal, and mangoes in California too. So those are like my 2 favorites, right? At this moment, those are my 2 favorites.
Mangoes. You can't go wrong with mangoes. Dates, they're a bit of an acquired taste. I like them. I like them, but so, only no. 1 or 2. And it depends on the variety.
Well, yeah. So the ones I saw when I was there were the barhi dates. So they're like, they're not ready yet. They like harvest them unripe for a different market. So it was just like, I'm personally not a fan of dates, but doesn't matter. I still appreciate all of the work, but just the way that they exist in Southern California in the desert. I mean, have you ever seen them there?
I have. Yes.
It's unreal, right? It's like really they're cool. Everywhere. So then to go back and see the changes as the season goes and then the actual harvesting is just, I mean, it's crazy. And then to think while you're watching that, how much people pay for dates is like, oh my gosh. So it's just so crazy.
Yeah, it was so labor intensive. I think of it a lot like asparagus, but even more so, right? The process is incredibly labor intensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so like nitpicky detailed, and it makes sense for how much people pay for them, but there's also, I mean, that's like gold money right there.
So the question I want to ask you is, when are you doing an onion video?
Oh, I have to tell you, I watched your video yesterday of, I don't know how you got like 10 people to agree to bite into the onion. Like, I don't know if you paid them.
Oh, no. You got to try that one. I can do that. You'd be fine. That onion, you can't even, it's not, there's no bite to it at all.
I don't know.
I swear to you, I wouldn't. Truth in marketing. Okay. That's one thing that's very important to me is truth in marketing. Definitely have to have truth in marketing, and you'd be fine. It'd be fine.
I mean, you would have to like tell me the exact specific type of onion to buy to do that. But I mean, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to send you, like, I still think I have some of those left. I'm going to send them to you.
Okay.
You'll get some wicked sweet onions. And then I can prove to you, you can even do this. Truth in marketing, everyone. Truth in marketing. You can video yourself. You have to video yourself. You can video yourself biting into that onion, and then everyone will know whether I'm full of crap or not.
Okay, but I just want you to know, when I eat onions, they're always cooked.
Because
inside something else.
You don't like the taste, or because you don't
really
like
strong taste. It's a really strong flavor for me.
You're gonna be okay. This is, I mean, I'm not saying you're gonna like want to like cut it up and just like eat it like an apple, but I think this will be as close. Okay, so one of the people on there that did this with me
was your kid.
Oh, was my kid? No. But I had this girl from New Zealand who would not eat onions, and she ate that. She's like, hey, that's actually okay. Like, I'm not saying she loved the onion, but she doesn't eat onions at all. So I think you'll be surprised. I really hope that you're surprised. But then if I can get you out here, aside from doing that, if I can get you out here to do a video someday, that would be really cool.
Dude,
but
I would come any day. I would come any day.
One caveat. You have to put yourself on the camera.
Oh, I'll do it.
I'll
come any day. I mean, the fact that you're open to people are open to me coming, I'm like, yeah, I'm coming right now. So yeah.
Do it. Fall, September, harvest time and packing, because we do both at the same time, right? So you can see start to finish. Well, not planting, but everything from the coming out of the field all the way through to storage to packing and everything else.
Yeah, I want to go in that room, the big onion rooms. Yep.
All the big onion storages. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, and you can see you may or may not cry when you go in that room.
I'll be ready because I'll have eaten my fresh onion before.
That's good. It's good. You'll know how good the good ones are, and then when you chase, then you can taste one of the spicy ones, the real oniony ones, and you'll know how powerful they are. Well, Megan, thank you for coming on the podcast. This is a new endeavor, as you know, for me. But it has been, I hesitated, and I say this not every time, but a lot of these podcasts, I've said this, I've hesitated for so long to start a podcast, but it has been like the coolest thing to have these kinds of conversations, to get to know and understand people and their perspectives and their point of views, and to just keep learning along the way. It's just been incredible. So, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. And again, I would just like to give you a compliment for being a good example of what people should do.
Yeah, thank you.
And if anybody's listening, it's not going to hurt Shay if there's copycats out there. It's just going to make him feel better for what he's doing.
It'll just help my ego, everyone. So that's good. Thanks again.
Thank you.